Hi everyone, my name is Eakin Bruce and I am a financial advisor for Milford. Thanks for tuning in. We are here with my colleagues Kirsten Bennett.
Hi.
And Liam Robertson.
G'day.
Also financial advisors at Milford. Today we're going to discuss some tips, hacks, and frequently asked questions that we hope might help you on your current investment journey. Before we get into the conversation, just bear with me while we take you through a disclaimer. This recording is intended to provide general information only. The information recorded does not take into account your investment objectives, financial situation, and advisory needs of any particular person, nor does the information provided constitute investment or financial advice. Under no circumstances should investments be based solely on the information provided. Milford recordings are intended to be informative and to provide educational information only. Please be aware that investing involves taking on risk and the risk of capital loss. Should you require financial advice, you should speak to a financial advisor. The disclosure statement of all Milford advisors is available on request and free of charge. Milford Funds Limited is the issuer of Milford KiwiSaver Plan and the Milford Investment Funds. Please read the relevant Milford product disclosure statements at milfordasset.com. So let's get on with it. The markets have been bumpy and balances fluctuate often, especially in January of 2022 through to March. Liam, what are the best ways to handle volatility in markets?
Yeah, and that's a great opening question. I think it's one of the most common ones we've been fielding as a team. And really, I think the best way to handle volatility is to nail three key factors. The first is to have a goal for your KiwiSaver. So it could be something like saving for your first home or saving for a more comfortable retirement, okay? The second is nailing down your time frame. So how long have you got until you actually need to access these funds or put them to work to achieve said goal? And then thirdly, what's your risk profile? How is this volatility affecting you? How are you feeling seeing your balance move up and down as we've seen in the last few months? If you can put yourself into a fund that ticks off those three factors, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable and perhaps the short-term volatility will seem a little bit less significant when we put it into the perspective of a long-term picture.
And I guess one of the key points there is the time horizon. Each of the Milford funds recommends a period of time that you should be invested in it. What does that time really speak to?
Yeah, so the time frame really speaks to how the funds are allocated in terms of assets. And so you're right, each fund has a guideline, really ranging from sort of immediately, so a cash fund, you might need to use the funds in the next few months or year, up to 10 years in something like an aggressive fund. So as we move up that guideline and timeframe, the fund is taking on more and more expected risk, but more and more expected return as well by increasing its allocation of growth assets, so things like equities, and reducing its allocation of what we call income assets, so things like bonds, cash.
Yeah, and one of the questions that we've had is quite interesting. During these periods of time of volatility, you're obviously still going to be contributing from your wage or salary if you're employed. So is it worthwhile still keeping those contributions going in even though the market is falling?
Absolutely, and that's what we call dollar cost averaging. So at the moment and over the last few months, if you've kept up steady payments, you're actually buying more units in your fund for the same price or for the same contribution. So when markets do eventually recover, you're going to have more units in that fund than you ordinarily would have had. And that's where you'll see the real benefit from staying the course.
Yeah, and the time in the market rather than timing when you're actually getting into the market. So KiwiSaver is a great beneficiary of that with those regular contributions.
Absolutely.
And with such broad range of funds, if I reflect on them, we've got something from a cash fund right down the low end of the spectrum where you're trying to protect capital and potentially have a short-term goal such as the first home or potentially you're needing to draw funds during retirement, right through to something for maybe yourself who's already brought their first home and got sort of 40 years left through until retirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kirsten, if I can ask you a personal question, how often do you check your own KiwiSaver balance and do you have any tips?
Do I have to be honest on this one? look, I do check mine quite regularly. I'm in the market, so yeah. But we do say to our clients, look, try and not stop, you know, stop looking.
Yeah.
And I know it can be hard. There's a lot of talk around the lunchroom table, around social media posts about the volatility that Mark has mentioned that we've got in the market. And so there's a lot of talk. But, you know, pick a date, pick a couple of dates in the year, an anniversary, a birthday, and maybe just aim for those dates and just hold back. Be confident about the decisions you've made and the advice that we've been able to give you or you've received.
Liam, if I pose you the same question, with your such a long investment time horizon, how often do you check yours?
Oh, look, I think similar to Kirsten's point, I do end up checking it from time to time just because we're in the market, and often I might be talking the client through how to find something on the app or on the client portal. But generally speaking, I don't need to check it really. Like you say, I've got a fair few years of work ahead of me. And so the volatility at the moment, whether my balance is up or down, is really immaterial.
Yeah, and I guess with great power comes great responsibility. We've worked incredibly hard here at Milford over the last 3 or 4 years to create a platform where you can log in and see transparent information about your balance and how it's going. But with that power of being able to see that information comes the responsibility of not needing to check the funds every day. We do have a team in the background of 40 investment professionals who are managing your investment on a day-to-day basis, and they're the team that are doing the worrying for you. So if you're checking it once a week, it's probably still too regularly. If you're checking once a month because you're interested and want to keep up with the markets, then that's okay. But potentially you may not want to be checking it until every 6 or even 12 months. Another way to reduce actually checking your balance is what you talked about earlier, is getting some financial advice and having your time horizon, your risk tolerance and your goal in mind. So what, Kirsten, what are some of the examples of goals that you're discussing with clients at the moment?
So the advice that we're aiming for is goal-based retirement advice. So one of those questions is how does your retirement look for you financially? The most common response to that question is, I don't know. So that's where we need to start. And we need to ask that question, and we need people to understand what does retirement look like. So I often refer to the New Zealand Retirement Expenditure Guide put out by Massey University. Keep a copy on hand, and I'm always sending that on to my clients for them to start thinking about what that goal might look like in retirement, what they may need. So that's something that I refer to quite often.
Yeah, and I guess I take a different approach sometimes with my clients and look at maybe what their current salary is and what they might need as a percentage of that salary going forward. So for example, if I'm dealing with a client who's earning $50,000 per annum, they might decide that they want $30,000 per annum as an income in retirement. So look at a life expectancy and figure out what that goal balance is at 65, and then put a plan together to work towards it. I guess the other goal as well as retirement, KiwiSaver is also used towards first home. So when you're planning towards a first home, Liam, any tips or tricks for the investors on the line about what they need to be thinking about?
Yeah, look, it is tough out there at the moment. I think especially over the last couple of years, it has felt like the goalposts do keep shifting for first home buyers. And so when I am speaking with those clients saving, it's really hard to know, well, I need a 10, 20% deposit, but of what? And so I think what we tend to do is try and put a time frame on it and say, well, look, if you're looking at saving for 5 years, let's try and maximize that balance in the next 5 years and see where that gets us. And also, you know, KiwiSaver might not form the entire deposit. Yeah. You may have other assets and savings going on as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And as you say, not forming the full amount of your deposit, but if you've got an idea that maybe in a couple of years you might have $20,000 or $30,000, then you might be able to form how much of your deposit that's going to make up, and start planning about what savings you're doing alongside it to help you get towards that goal. And there is so much value in receiving advice. I think you were reading some research from the FSC the other day. How do you get advice from Milford, and what benefit does it provide?
Yeah, we've got a couple of options at Milford. So there's the digital advice tools, which can be accessed via your app or client portal on your computer. And those tools will ask you a series of questions about what your goals are, your timeframes, and you know, how you would feel seeing your balance fluctuate over a 12-month period. And through that, you'll be assigned a risk profile and a fund that will be most suitable for you. Alternatively, if you prefer a personal touch, you can speak with the likes of myself, Eakin or Kirsten. And that is really the bulk of the role that we form, is giving that personal advice to our clients.
Yeah, and what I alluded to with the FSC, to elaborate, that's the Financial Services Council. They did some research in the last couple of years about the benefits of receiving financial advice, and generally people end up with more in their savings. They're also able to stick the course throughout periods of volatility better than those who potentially don't receive advice. And KiwiSaver really does come with a few key benefits. First of all, you get the employer contributions. So if you're on a wage or a salary, you're going to get matched potentially 3, 4, or even more if you've got a generous employer. You'll also get the government contribution as long as you're living in New Zealand over 18, under 65 and contributing towards that. And you're also getting the returns that you get from your KiwiSaver provider who are managing the investments on your behalf. Kirsten, if we focus on the government contribution, it's going to be in the media over the next couple of months coming into the end of June when you have to get your money in. What is the government contribution and how do you make the most of it?
So the government contribution is $521.43. A question that I often get asked is that the financial year, which we've just had last week? No. So the KiwiSaver financial year is 1 July, 30 June. So you've still got a few more months to go to get that in. So as long as you contribute $1,042.86, the government will contribute that $521. Essentially, it's 50 cents for every dollar you put in up to that maximum of $1,042 that you put in. And it's your contributions only. It is not a mixture of your employers and employee. It's just your individual contributions and any voluntary contributions that you might make as well along the way.
Yeah, and I think that voluntary contribution point is quite important because if you're self-employed, potentially you want to be putting in a lump sum or putting in a regular contribution. We work the maths out and we talk with clients a lot. It's about $21 per week that you have to be putting away into your KiwiSaver. You've got about 13 weeks left until the end of June, so it's not too late to put some money in now and make the most of it, because I guess the key point is it's up to that value. So potentially if you can't afford to put in the full $1,042 across the year, even if you put in $500, the government's going to match you $250. And any specific tips for a postgraduate student on a budget who receives stipends? How to keep up with your contributing to KiwiSaver and how much should you actually be contributing?
Should I give you the advice I gave my daughter and my children?
Yeah, most definitely.
So I have a daughter who works part-time, full-time student. And she knows that she needs to make that contribution every year with her working part-time. So she knows, depending on what hours she might work, that she might not make that full contribution. She puts away an extra $5 a week in her budget. So she budgets that money in there. I got a phone call from her a couple of weeks ago. She thought the end of financial year for KiwiSaver was 31 March. She said, when do I have to make that payment? So it's constantly in her mind. And that's what we should be thinking of, to not miss out on that money. So she got quite a surprise, is that she'd actually nearly reached that $1,042 already. So it's all about budgeting. Know what you have to contribute. Keep it in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And one of the other questions that we got through is if you've joined KiwiSaver partway through the year, or potentially if you're hitting the age of 65 throughout that KiwiSaver year, what are you eligible, the full amount or just a partial amount?
Unfortunately not. So it's all about percentage of time. So if you have joined partway through the year, it will be prorated for the percentage of time that you have been a member since you joined. And the government will contribute depending on that time frame, depending on what you've put in. So it's very mindful. Don't, you know, necessarily rush out and throw that money and think you're going to get the full $521 if you're only joining now. It will be prorated till the end of the year. Next year's another story. Start all over again.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think the government contribution is an incredibly powerful part of your KiwiSaver and something you do need to look at harnessing. Because if you're getting $500 a year, potentially over the next 20 years, then that's $10,000 that they're contributing to your KiwiSaver, not to mention the investment returns that will be generated on top of it. So worthwhile considering, and if you're able to, contributing towards it. To step back on a conversation that I've been having with a lot of my friends and family recently at barbecues, KiwiSaver has been a great way of getting investors into investing and wanting to understand more about why is their fund going up. Now we've got a balance of maybe $10,000 or $20,000. They're quite interested to see how it's fluctuating in value. And throughout 2020, people got plenty of time on their hands with all the lockdowns and got onto all these micro investing platforms. But the question I've been getting as a financial advisor is, not only KiwiSaver, what else can we be doing outside of KiwiSaver that we don't need to be monitoring day to day? Are you having similar conversations with your friends?
Yeah, I think we've probably been at the same barbecue. I get that all the time. And I think people, you know, they aren't only time poor, but now that we are seeing a little bit of volatility in the market, a lot of people are either not equipped or not interested in actually having to consciously navigate that volatility, do the research, etc. And so something like an investment fund that can sit along like a sidecar to your KiwiSaver is a great way of managing that extra investment.
And yourself, plenty of barbecues over summer with the good weather we've been having?
Absolutely. And I'd rather be at those barbecues than managing my money. So a couple of discussions we've had, I'm a little bit older, all purchased their first house. So they're now looking at that next investment on how they can, aiming towards that retirement and buying that second property. But hey, KiwiSaver has restrictions. So putting more money in there may not be the best option. So we do here at Milford, our investment funds are actively managed the same way as your KiwiSaver without those restrictions. So would give you another option to put money aside, still being actively managed, and knowing that you can draw it out to make that next investment purchase if you so wish without those restrictions.
Yeah, and I guess to elaborate on the investment funds and the benefit of them is they are incredibly diversified. Potentially, if you're going through one of these micro investing platforms, you might pick five or six stocks that you like the look of or you know the names of. Across the range of Milford funds, we might have 150 or 200 different investments. And Mark and the team are 40. They're spending all week trying to find the best investments out there right around the globe. And pre-COVID and now we're getting back into a bit of international travel, they're out there on the pavement trying to find the best companies around the world. Liam, could you give me a little bit of background about the range of investment funds? I guess when we talk about KiwiSaver, we've got something down the cash end for somebody who needs a short-term investment right through to something at the aggressive end where they've potentially got a lot of time on their side. Do we have a similar range at Milford?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've actually got an even wider range because, as I mentioned earlier, I use the term sidecar. And so that's the idea of having an investment fund alongside your KiwiSaver. We actually offer the KiwiSaver funds as investment funds to the exact same fund, same fees, etc. So if you're comfortable with the KiwiSaver fund that you're in, but you want to add some extra money that's still accessible, you could literally just copy it to an investment fund. Or there's another five or six that we have available as well, starting from cash fund again, all the way up to the more aggressive end of the spectrum. So there's a great variety, and you can get started with a minimum investment of just $1,000. So it's easily accessible.
Yeah, and some of those funds are multi-asset funds, so they're quite a broad range, growth and balanced and conservative. But we also do have some funds in a more single sector, so looking at a specific part of the market and volatility that comes with that and investing at the higher end of the risk spectrum. Well, what I'll do now is I'll move on to a handful of questions that we've got. So I've got a handful on my iPad, so we might just alternate between the two of you. Liam, I'm over 65. Should I leave my money in KiwiSaver?
Again, a really common question that we get from a lot of our clients. Essentially, once you turn 65, your KiwiSaver becomes unlocked and it just becomes a managed fund, very, very much like an investment fund. The key consideration I'd have for that is, are you still working? Because if you are still working, your employer may be giving you KiwiSaver contributions. They're not obliged to, but many do. And if you were to perhaps move the money from your KiwiSaver to an investment fund, you'd no longer be able to get those contributions. But other than that, if you actually are retired, not working, then there's really no difference. But many of our clients choose to stay in KiwiSaver just because it's a product they're familiar with.
Yeah, and KiwiSaver, once you hit 65, being unlocked, you can actually make more contributions to it voluntary. So whether you want to put in lump sums or whether you actually want to start taking a withdrawal to pay an income, one of the tools that we've worked on over the last couple of years is aptly called Spend My KiwiSaver, which once you reach your 65th birthday, you can access that through your client portal or through your mobile app. And it will project and forecast what you potentially could draw each week over a period in retirement as an income. And that may be a figure that you want to start withdrawing now, or it may be something you just tuck away a bit of knowledge and then come back in 3 or 4 years when you actually start to need that income from your KiwiSaver. So it's a good way to demonstrate the power of taking a regular income to supplement maybe New Zealand superannuation or any other investments you have. A question here from Ruth. Looking to withdraw my KiwiSaver to purchase a home in the next 6 months. Currently in the active growth fund, which has dipped over the last month. I'm wanting to maximize my investment before withdrawing. What should I be doing and considering? Kirsten, if you want to start.
Give me a call tomorrow. Let us have a chat. It's probably going back to a few things that we've already brought up is that time horizon. She's got a shorter time frame. We probably need to have a chat asking her, you know, it also will come down to what her balance is, what her goals are at 65, whether she is planning on retiring or cutting back those hours. So there's a lot of factors there, and having a conversation, I would say, is the best thing she needs to do at this stage.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And as your time horizon gets shorter, we talked about it earlier, especially with the likes of a first home withdrawal, is you're going to need that money and you potentially might need a lot of certainty around that money. So, for example, if you've got $20,000 and you've told the bank you need $20,000, you may not be willing to take on a lot of risk. And that's the point where you need to consider potentially what returns you could generate, but potentially how far the fund could fall over a period of time. Leading into that property purchase. So yeah, definitely worth a conversation. Another question that's come through, I'm over 65 and not contributing to KiwiSaver through a wage deduction. I am still entitled to the government contribution. What do I need to do to receive this, Liam?
So if you are still entitled to the government contribution, then you need to make sure you've put in $1,042 before 30 June.
Yeah.
Once you are beyond the age of 65, those government contributions do cease, but that is offset by being eligible to receive a state pension.
Yeah.
So you sort of end up a bit more quids in with the pension.
And potentially, if you've already made some contributions towards your KiwiSaver and don't know how much they are, do feel free to reach out to the team or have a look in your transaction history on the online portal or client app. And figure out what you've made from the 1st of July, contributions you made from the 1st of July through till today, and what you potentially need to top up, because you might not need to put in the full 1,050. You might already be halfway there. Another question's come through, and I might pose this one to you as well, Liam. It's regarding the KiwiSaver Aggressive Fund and the Aggressive Investment Fund. Where should I put my voluntary savings, and what are the differences between the two funds?
Yeah, good question. I actually had a similar conversation like this with a client yesterday. Who was self-employed, and they wondered about the similar sort of thing. And so the key consideration with choosing between a KiwiSaver fund or an investment fund is really access to those funds and how you feel about that. So if you're employed and you're making sure that you, for instance, are putting in what you need to get the matched employer contribution, so 3% generally speaking, you want to make sure you maximize that. You want to make sure that you're maximizing the government contributions. Then anything over and above that, it's really up to you where you put it. KiwiSaver or an investment fund, they, as I said before, the fees and the performance are the same. And so it really just comes down to whether or not you want to be able to access those funds. And that's a personal decision. Some people like the certainty of not being able to raid the fund before they withdraw for a first home or retire. But others like to have that safety net available.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it depends on that flexibility. Some people aren't disciplined enough to leave the funds during volatility and so prefer to have it locked up in KiwiSaver, whereas other people would like to just have it in the investment funds and have access potentially for some of those one-off costs before retirement. Another question here, I think quite an interesting one. As I'm in KiwiSaver and over the age of 65, I'd like to change my KiwiSaver to a joint account. Can it have the same returns whilst we have it jointly? Any comments on that?
So KiwiSaver can't be in a joint, in joint names. It must be in an individual's name, obviously relates to your IRD number, your land revenue number. So to answer that in a short form, no, you can't. But there is always the investment funds that could be an alternative that you can have those in a joint name. So if you want it in a joint name, really the only way to go, cannot put it into KiwiSaver in a joint name.
Yeah, we do potentially see some couples doing that once they hit 65, is consolidating their assets so they know what they've got in one basket and can work on that as a couple. But similarly, some people do like to have their individual KiwiSaver funds. So a question here comes through from Anonymous. Should I be investing more dollars at the moment, more money at the moment, or should I be sitting tight and waiting? Liam, any comments on that?
Yeah, I think that a similar question to the one about dollar cost averaging and buying low that I answered previously. You could look at it, like if your financial situation permits, then you may want to try and increase contributions so that when there is a market recovery, you can benefit from that dollar cost averaging. But likewise, there's nothing wrong with just carrying on as you are and keeping those constant contributions coming in. You'll still benefit from dollar cost averaging.
I am just going to throw in there from a wise man once said last week, it's like a Boxing Day sale.
Yeah, most definitely. When there's volatility in the markets, it's not the timing into the markets, but it's actually the time in the market. So as long as you're coming in with the intentions of being invested for a period of time, that's where you'll be rewarded, not trying to come in and make a quick dollar quickly.
No, that's right. And look, no one rings a bell at the bottom. So, we don't know when that's going to be. And so that's where, time in the market is absolutely applicable.
Yeah. And another question that has come through from Caitlin. Since buying a house and draining my KiwiSaver, what is the best way to boost it back and make progress as fast as possible? Maybe Liam, you can.
Yeah, well, congratulations on purchasing your home. That's fantastic. And I guess, yeah, congratulations on asking that question as well, because we do often find clients who buy the first home and all the excitement, forget about the KiwiSaver. It's done the job. It's got them in the door.
Yeah.
And they can leave those their ongoing contributions in a lower risk fund. But now, if you're saving for retirement, and depending on how old you are, you've got time on your side and you can potentially take some more risk. So the first thing I do is perhaps get a new risk profile. You can do that either via digital advice or giving one of us a call. And then once you're in a suitable fund that matches your time frame and risk profile, the other lever you've got to pull is your contributions, which you can adjust via your employer.
Yeah, and if you're in a position to do so with all your mortgage costs and things in the background, just make the most of the benefits. If you're getting a matching of 3% from your employer, you try and put in that 3% because you're doubling your money straight away. And also getting that $1,050 that we talked about earlier to get the $521 from the government. So those two contributions can be hugely powerful, especially if you've still got time through until retirement. Another question coming through from Nate. What should young people be focusing on in terms of maximizing their KiwiSaver when it comes to buying a first home? I might make a few comments on that one to start. I guess maximizing towards a first home really does come with two things, is the investment time horizon. So if you're saying maximizing over 6 months, you may need to acknowledge that your KiwiSaver might not grow between now and then, and you just want the certainty of balance. The second part is then looking at what that goal is. And if the goal allows your time horizon to potentially be in a higher fund, high risk fund, then worthwhile doing so, but potentially not. You just need to consolidate the amount that you've got there, get the first home, and then put a second plan towards retirement. Any other comments? Anything I should add?
Couldn't add anything more to that at all.
Good stuff. Rachel has come through. What are the benefits and drawbacks of splitting KiwiSaver investments between more than one fund, and how does multiple funds affect management fees?
Can tackle that for you.
Off you go, yes. And I'll add to it.
Yeah, not a problem at all. A lot of people do like to split their KiwiSaver across more than one fund. Generally speaking, when I do advise clients, I recommend one strategy, because we've gone through the goal, the risk profile, the time frame. And so it generally makes sense to have those funds all sort of accommodated around those goals. And each fund that we have is, I think you alluded to earlier, really, really diversified. And so there isn't necessarily a need to have two different KiwiSaver funds because it doesn't necessarily, you know, increase your diversification. In terms of the fees, each KiwiSaver fund may have a different fee. But you'll only pay that on a pro rata basis. So you're not going to pay double fees, or, you know, if you had three different KiwiSaver fund types, you're not paying triple fees. So there's no con from that perspective.
Yeah. And potentially one time that you would look to split your KiwiSaver across a number of funds is if you had two different goals. So potentially you weren't wanting to draw all of your KiwiSaver balance for a first home. You might just need a portion of it that you want to take a lower period of risk. And then you're actually earmarked the remainder of it towards retirement. So you could look at splitting it that way. But we looked at some stats just in the last few days of Milford KiwiSaver members. Over 90% of members are just in a single fund. And that speaks to the level of diversification and the range of funds that we've got available, is that generally people will find one fund that will meet their goal, time horizon, and risk tolerance. A question from Sam. Thanks for the question, Sam. Which team members look after the active growth funds? The top two names will do. I'll answer that one. So portfolio managers in the background, we've got Jonathan Windust. Jonathan's been with Milford since 2009 and has been managing that fund, that growth fund, for over 5 years. And his co-portfolio manager is William Curtain. William's been with Milford more than 10 years as well. They're both long stayers here at Milford. And he is primarily responsible for the Australian Absolute Growth Fund and our investment funds range, but he supports Jonathan on the Active Growth Fund as well. So that's just two of the names of the wider team. So each of the investment team of 40, they generally are split up into different segments on the part of the market that they focus on. So we've got a team that focuses on New Zealand equities, Australian equities, global equities, and then within that, different sectors like Mark alluded to, potentially financials, potentially property, etc. And a question here from Anonymous. When adding additional payments, what frequency would you suggest to optimize the dollar cost averaging that we talked about earlier? Would it be weekly, monthly, or maybe a different frequency? I think you covered off dollar cost averaging, Liam.
Yeah, look, I think it really depends on how volatile markets are, but I think sticking with something like monthly is probably okay. And just be comfortable with the fact that, you know, some months you'll buy low and you'll get it right, and other months the market might have spiked on the day that you put the money in. But at the end of the day, it does average out. So I think monthly is probably.
Yeah, and sometimes people align it with when they get paid. If they're on a weekly pay cycle or fortnightly pay cycle, they like to make those contributions soon after their pay, so they're not tempted to do anything else with their money. But yeah, really does come down to personal preference. Well, it looks as though we're almost running out of time. So what we'll do is we will wrap it up with one final question. And I guess if I was to give you a little bit of background on this question, in July this year, we're going to be celebrating 15 years of KiwiSaver. And I think we'd all agree, and the team here at Milford would agree, that it's been an incredible success. There's a huge amount of savings towards retirement and first homes across New Zealand. Not to mention the financial literacy. People are actually engaged and wanting to know about investing. Question to you, if there's one tip you want to take away, what would it be, Kirsten?
Give us a call. You've met us all now. We don't bite. No question is a silly question. It's just the one you don't ask. So give us a call, have a chat with us, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And Liam?
I think I'd hark back to my first question that you asked me. I think if the viewers can be comfortable that they're in a fund that ticks their goal, their time frame, and their risk tolerance, they're on a really good journey to, you know, a better financial outcome in the future. They're going to feel better about volatility. And look, if they're not sure if they need a hand, give us a call. As Justin says, we're happy to help.
Yeah, and if I add one last tip, I think it's take an interest. Yeah. KiwiSaver is going to be an incredibly important part of people's lives. Potentially is going to be their biggest asset when they get to retirement alongside their house, if that's the way that they decide to go. So take an interest, be engaged, keep an eye on how it's going, not too frequently, of course, but every 6 months just to check in and see how things are going. Well, thank you. We will wrap it up there. It's great to have you along. Appreciate your insights, Kirsten and Len. At the end of the day, markets will be volatile, and going forward, they definitely will be volatile at other periods. So as we discussed, having a goal, ensuring you understand your risk profile, and having a plan going forward is incredibly important to help you to achieve what you want from your KiwiSaver. We're always here and happy to help. As Liam and Kirsten said, do reach out. Let's have a conversation and we can help to answer these questions for you. And to wrap up, thank you very much for trusting Milford to manage your KiwiSaver investments. We really do appreciate it. We are in New Zealand and we're a staff-owned company. We all invest in the same funds alongside you, so we really appreciate you trusting us with your money. In the words of Jerry Springer, until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you.